Napa know-how.
Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Can't you make like a Twitter petition?
You can do a, right? Yeah, you could do a
poll.
Poll, that's what it is. Yeah. Wait, hey, why do you know that?
Only because he's listening to the Starters and they have a Twitter show.
That's right. I listen to the Starters Twitter show. That's the only reason I know.
Yeah, so just prepare to.
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jeremiah with a shoe on.
The train is off the tracks.
Who doesn't love the bounty castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to. Just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Unbeatables, your semi weekly Pacers podcast. Today is January 2nd, 2017, and this is episode 213, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're covering the past week in Pacers basketball, including games against the Bulls, Wizards, Bulls again, and the Orlando Magic. Before we get started, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do it here. We are on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. Thanks to everyone who's been getting sending those tweets over. Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. It's a contact form there. You can send us a message or you can email us at shoutout@TheUndebeatables.com. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor. Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What's up, Undebeatables? Glad to have the whole crew back together. Hope everybody had a good holiday season. It's 2017. It can only go up from here, I think. I hope.
Is that a question?
Yes.
Did you say it can only blow up from here?
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks in the crappy jingles, John Colson.
Happy New Year! Da, 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 da. No, I still don't know the words. I don't learn anything on our show. I would like to shout out to the doctor, Jason Triplett, who went on Almighty Baller Podcast, and I thought showed yourself and us and Pacer fans all over quite well. So thanks for doing that, buddy. You should guys check that out. We should put a link to the show notes there.
And coming to you from Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? Super happy to be back. Holidays were awesome. Always fun to hang out with the family. Shout out to them. But looking forward to 2017. I'm stoked. It's going to be a good year.
That's what we're all hoping for. I'd like to also shout out to my family, your family, all the families out there.
I'd like to shout out to the single people.
To the family, to non-family. We hope you're doing well this upcoming year. Also, shout out to Chris Axman, Almighty Baller, for having Jason on. If you guys have not heard his shows, definitely give him a check out. He's got some of his own. He's got other affiliated shows and a lot of good stuff over on that network. We got four games to talk about this week.
Oh, yeah, go ahead whenever you want.
That's the sound of the not all that fast break.
First one at Chicago Bulls, Monday, December 26th. The bad guys take this one 90-85 in a heartbreaker. Colson, how did the Bulls do it to us again?
Two reasons in my mind. Dwayne Wade and Mirotic. I marvel at Dwayne Wade. Like I really don't like him, but he's just so good, and he's consistently really likes beating the Pacers. I think we did a unofficial ranking of greatest shooting guards of all time, and I think we had him in the top five. And there's he shows it every time he plays us. And then Mirotić just got hot from behind the arc. He's just big and long and just shot the lights out, and we just couldn't scrap this one out. We gave him a 10-point we put ourselves in a 10-point hole early, and you know, scrapped but could not pull it out. So it sounds like a lot of the rest of the season, honestly.
I'm pretty sure you said Dwayne Wade was just a bad person on some previous pod.
I may have said that, but I marvel at him. I really do. It pisses me off, but he's so good.
He was on the naughty list, but he didn't get cold this year. He got a win against us again.
Yeah, this game was just a good old-fashioned rock fight, as we've seen between these teams many a time before. Both teams struggling to find the bottom of the basket, unless your name was Nikola Mirotić. I thought it was kind of a lackluster effort by the Pacers. I thought they were getting pushed around and being very passive. On the offensive end, I thought that, you know, much of the talk after this game had to do with officiating, and we'll probably get into that a little bit more here in a second. I mean, the Pacers get to the line only 10 times in this game, while the Bulls got there 28 times. But I thought that was, you know, a lot to do with the way that the Pacers were playing basketball. They were not being aggressive and attacking the rim.
I think a good game from Aaron Brooks. He picks up 19 points off the bench. You know, he's still filling in Monte Ellis out at the time. You know, I think he wanted to show up his old team a little bit. He did a great job, 6 of 8 from the field, 3 of 4 from three-point land.
7 assists as well.
Yeah, man, he did his job in this game. But, you know, Glenn Robinson started again, and, you know, he was, I guess, the weakest of the starters performance-wise this game.
Well, Jeff Teague definitely had an off night. Did Rajon Rondo just play him super tough?
Actually, no. It was Michael Carter-Williams was causing problems. Rondo actually didn't even play the entire second half of this game. Not sure why
Play. That's in the next Chicago game.
Oh, that's the next Chicago. Oh, sorry. Yeah. The Chicago games are blending together.
Yeah, we played two. Yeah, exactly.
He did only play 24 minutes, though.
Yeah, no, just an off night for Teague. Did see Stuckey come back for a whopping 6 minutes before he retweaked that hamstring or groin or whatever the heck was bothering him, so that certainly didn't help.
And then just walked straight into the locker room. He knew he'd retweaked it. He was not happy.
Can we just shut him down until April?
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
Probably should.
Yeah, this is becoming a kind of an issue. There, you know, I think the guys that are filling in for him, you know, you think you're playing until Stuckey gets back, and I think mentally, you know, you get ready for that, and now he comes back and he just keeps getting hurt. This is this third time this happened this season already?
Yeah.
But he's re-entered the rotation and then just hurt himself, and he's out again.
It's been an issue. Now it's ridiculous.
Right.
I assume they're going to shelve him for plenty of time until he is 100% this time around. I think he's gone for a significant chunk of time this thing. That's my theory, at least.
So one bright spot in this game, Aaron Brooks came off the bench and was super effective, hitting a lot of big shots against his former team. And as we've been calling for on the pod, Nate McMillan stuck with Aaron Brooks down the stretch. Which I thought was a good decision up to a point. This was a close game down the stretch, and I really wanted Teague back in the lineup, despite the fact that he was playing not that great. But in the last 3 minutes, he does such a good job of controlling offensive flow and getting us into at least decent looks. I kind of thought McMillan rode the hot hand a little bit too long. Colson, what did you think? You love the hot hand. So
I do love the hot hand. And Brooks hit a couple late threes, I think, if I recall, to keep us in striking distance. So I was with you. I kept being like, when's he going to bring Teague back? But I kind of appreciated it. I don't know. He was having a great game. So
yeah.
I'm gonna defend Nate on this. I really do like riding the hot hand. Unless you just exhaust a guy, and you clearly, you know, if our starting unit was such a unit that was like, you know, gelled and was together and understood each other and how to play in tight games, even maybe you default to that even if there's a guy who's hot. But this team doesn't have a closing identity or anything like that. Just go with the guys that are playing the best. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm. Or put Brooks at two in that situation, since Wade's eating you up already anyway.
Sure, exactly. Sure. And it's not like Glenn Robinson was stopping him. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't doing anything offensively either.
Right, right. So that could have been an option. Yeah, that's something to think about next time, Nate.
So Jason, I think the big story after the game was the officiating. What did you see there with Paul George and Nate McMillan both picking up fines?
Well, yeah, I mean, Paul George came out and basically decried the NBA, and I think at some level insinuated that there's a large conspiracy against the Pacers and us not wanting the Pacers to do well on national TV games or something like that, which I thought was kind of bogus. But, I mean, he certainly feels... And his coach, I guess, also feels that he doesn't get the type of respect that he should get being a superstar in this league. And, you know, whether or not that's because he's wearing a Pacers jersey or, you know, this was just a microcosm of, or, you know, a single game sample set in which he didn't get the calls is unclear. But to me, it was more a reflection of how the team was playing as a whole. I mean, I didn't really buy into this. The referees, you know, deciding this game at all.
I didn't get a chance to watch this game because it was a travel day for me. And I don't want to go too deep down the rabbit hole because we're going to talk about this on our Thursday show, probably quite a bit, I'd imagine. But to the extent that you're going to talk about officiating this league, it really has to be strategic, right?
Sure.
What you don't want to have happen is you don't want to become Chris Paul and then... It almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? You need the relationship with these refs in this league. Right, I'm not saying that these refs are going to call it one way or the other or what have you, but when you do have a gripe on the court, you don't want to be the guy who makes them look bad on national TV all the time, right? That's not useful.
Nope.
So to the extent that you're going to deploy, and I'm not saying don't complain about bad calls when they happen. There's a time and a place, but you have to be strategic about how you use that in front of the media.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it was just more a sign of frustration. I mean, this was an energy and effort team. This was a Bulls team that was coming off. They were playing the second night of a back-to-back, and the Pacers were coming off 3 days rest and got thoroughly out. The Pacers got thoroughly outworked the entire game. You know, there was a GIF, however you say that term, going around the interwebs, a vine, if you will, of a possession where the Bulls got three straight offensive rebounds.
Oh, I saw that.
And yeah, and there's clearly a shot where it's coming straight to Paul George and he doesn't move a finger to try to get this rebound. And, you know, it led to a Mirotić three. And there were several instances like that in the game.
Yeah.
So.
And I guess that's my takeaway is that it's fine to be frustrated, and it's even fine if you're not getting the calls at some point to take it to the media. But you can't do it out of frustration. It has to be thought out and strategic. And this wasn't. This was lashing out. And yeah, that's totally a bad look.
So the Bulls are, I think, the worst fourth quarter team in the NBA.
Yep.
They were coming off, you're right, Jason, the second night of a back-to-back. And I really thought, okay, here's where they fold and we make a push and we win this game down the stretch. And, yeah, there just wasn't the – we didn't play with force. And if you don't play with force in this league, you're going to get beat by teams that aren't better than you.
Mm-hmm. But even not playing our best game, we managed to stick around, so –
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's I guess we'll talk about this more. But one of the frustrating things about this losing stretch, you know, so this was the third consecutive loss for the Pacers, first time all season. And the frustrating thing is that in each of these games, even the Wizards game, which we'll talk about next, they're in these games. So they, it's not as if they're getting blown out and you could say, well, it didn't matter that you weren't working hard, you know, and gave up a bunch of offensive rebounds because you didn't have a chance. Like, if you just secure two or three of those rebounds, you're on the flip side of this score, right? Mm-hmm. That's the frustrating thing. So, I don't know.
Sure. A rebound and a bucket is, you know, 5-point swing.
Yeah.
And that's what we lost by. Mm-hmm. Pacers take the next day off Wednesday, move to Washington, take on the Wizards in JT's backyard. And John Wall and his Wizards take the Pacers down 111-105. Continue the losing streak. JT, what is going on with the team right now? They don't look happy.
They do not look happy at all. This game, I thought, a better effort from Paul George. Obviously, he had a fantastic game, 34 points, and really was trying to avoid, you know, after collecting a $15,000 fine, you know, behaving himself and whatnot. And I thought he led the charge pretty well. But the Pacers got outworked in the second quarter, getting outscored 35-23, and then could never really climb their way back into... Well, I guess they climbed their way back into the game, but didn't close well. Again, got outworked on the glass. Out-rebounded in this game by 20 rebounds, which is a lot. 54-34.
And did they not watch that GIF?
No, apparently not. Gave up 15 offensive rebounds. And yeah, put Washington on the line 37 times. So the other factor was John Wall. John Wall was an all-star in this game. He was incredible the entire game. That. Almost had a triple-double. A little bit frustrating because Bradley Beal goes down, sprains his ankle. I think he's going to be okay, but did not play the second half. So you really feel like you have an opportunity here as a Pacers team. But... couldn't close it out. And Otto Porter stepping up and making shots when he needed to make them. Made the game-clinching three-pointer. And Washington gets out of there with a win. So, tough loss. But I thought the Pacers played better in this game than in the Chicago game. But still frustrating to get outworked on the glass like that.
Yeah. Marcin Gortat is a fine player. Like, he's a fine NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he's not so overpowering that you can afford to let him rip down 16 against you. Like, there's just no excuse for that. Put a body.
Mm-hmm.
You know? 20 rebounds. I mean, that's, yeah, you're going to lose that game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were several times I was yelling, get a goddamn rebound.
We don't play big, you know? And I mean that. In our lineup and philosophically, you know, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. We don't have the mentality of I'm going to go get that rebound. You know, it's just not. I don't know if the guys on the floor just don't have that, or whether just as a team that's not pounded into our head. You know, and it's how is rebounds not written on the top of the right whiteboard every day? You know. Yeah. It's really frustrating because we're losing these games. Not entirely. There's a lot of reasons, but rebounds are about force and effort, and you know, we're getting worked on the boards.
I mean, when you lose by 6 points and you are negative 20 in total rebounding, you absolutely lost because of rebounding.
Yeah,
right.
If that's right. Even, they win by 15 at least, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's brutal. And to say that we don't look happy, like, I'm kind of okay with us not looking happy riding a three-game losing streak, right? Like, I'm fine with guys not being happy, but how do you channel that?
Sure.
And, you know, Paul George did come out and have a much better game, as did a lot of guys around him.
No, and we just couldn't get stops when we needed to get stops, you know, like, which is a fundamental flaw of this team. You know, going into the last 5 minutes, you get in situations where you need a stop and a bucket. And we're just, it's hard for us to pull out those stops. So
I mean, when you know when you're upset though, and when you're riding that, you got to be the hungrier team. And mm-hmm. when you lose the rebounding battle like that, it's clear you were not the hungrier team on that night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, I think we're just struggling with how to sort of channel that into something more useful.
Sure. I mean, credit to Washington. Washington's been playing well lately. That's their, they've won like 7 or 8 straight at home, and
I will give them no credit. I will not.
We're a bad road team.
Sure. So. Yeah.
One last thing about Washington, I think not only did, you know, Jason, you mentioned how many times they got to the foul line, but John Wall went 12 of 13 on the night. That's just, you know, that's impressive. You know, not only is he getting there, but he's doing his part when he does get there. That's a third of his points from the line. That's not bad at all.
He was getting an MVP chance you know, when he was at the line, which is a stark contrast. I was at a Wizards game last year when the Pacers demolished the Wizards, and the fans were yelling, "When are you going to start playing like an MVP?" It was uncomfortable.
Wait,
and they've the come all the way was, around.
When are you going to start playing like an MVP?
No, it wasn't a chant, but it was screams. Dead quiet in the arena, and this one guy just yells out, "When are you going to start playing like an MVP, John?" Like, and like everybody was like looking around, like, "Yeah, that's kind of the question I had too," you know. And so to see that his game and those fans come around to him is, I mean, it's good, you know, for the Wizards, for sure.
For sure.
He's definitely playing like an all-star this year. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, even then, he was playing pretty well. Like, the fans need to support that kid, for sure.
Yeah.
He's what they got.
Yeah, it was not his fault that CJ Miles was freaking unconscious in that game, but that's another story. We've told that story on this pod already.
So, 4-game losing streak. First of the season.
Yeah.
Not good.
Feels great.
Good
way to start the year.
Yeah. After this game, Paul George does an interview in which he basically throws the team under the bus. And he says, I'm going to paraphrase him here, but he says, I'm just used to playing with better players. You know, back in the day when we had, you know, the teams that were going to the Eastern Conference, you know, I could rely on those guys. And, you know, I don't, you know, so, of course, the inverse of that is my team currently sucks and all these people suck. I suppose we can talk more about that later, but maybe on next week's show. Because I have a lot to say about that. But just to know, just put a pin in that one, know that this is said after this game, and we can revisit it.
Yeah, not a good 48-hour period in Paul George as a leader land. First of all, railing at the referees and coming up with conspiracy theories, like he's Mel Gibson, and then throwing his teammates under the bus, a la, I don't know who else.
A jerk.
A jerk. Yeah, I've got thoughts on that, but I'll save it for Thursday.
Let's table that Thursday. Let you just dig in. Let loose.
No, I think that, you know, maybe look, Paul George maybe misplayed a little. All I'm saying is that there's probably a kinder reading of what happened than that.
Okay.
So
okay.
No,
PG, don't freak out, man.
No, cool. No,
we got
no.
You back on this.
Yeah. We got good news for you, gentlemen. Nobody likes the Chicago Bulls. Everybody was feeling the sting from the loss on Monday. But they came into our house Friday, December 30th, looking to close out the year with a win. They didn't get that because the Pacers took them down 111-101. Gentlemen, I watched that game, and the Pacers looked like a different team out there.
Mm-hmm.
They were strong. They closed well. Yeah, I
did they play big philosophically?
They played and they looked big, and I thought it was a great win over you know, it's a team. I don't know. It's a team.
It's not like the Bulls are leading the Eastern Conference by any means.
No, but it's always good to beat them, and we did.
Yeah, they take a lot of pride beating us, so we should take a lot
absolutely
of pride beating them too.
Dwayne Wade played well again. This is the game where Rajon Rondo played the first half and then mysteriously didn't come back for the second half and now has been just, like, benched. So he's got some issues with the Bulls there.
Shocking.
Yeah.
I could have told you that before the season.
That's right.
He's got an issue with anybody who's his employer.
But this was our game of the week, and we talked about how fun the matchup of Jimmy Butler and Paul George was going to be, and it totally was. These guys are really good, and they enjoy going at each other, and they were both hitting really tough shots over each other. But Paul George won that matchup, and one of the reasons we won this game. I think the other reason we won this game is Jeff Teague.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Career high, was it 17 dimes? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 17.
Ridiculous. And he just controlled this game. He did. I mean, he basically just ripped up the Bulls. He got into the paint, found the open guy, a bunch of lobs going on, which I don't see that often from us. He was reading the team really well and reading the Bulls defense, and just commanded this game. Shout out. You're right. It was a great game, but Paul George and Teague are the MVPs for me.
Oh, for sure. But I thought the overall energy and enthusiasm of this team, like you said, Joey, they look like a different team. They look like they wanted to play basketball, you know. And one of the things that Paul George said on Thursday, I guess, after he threw his team under the bus, he came back the next day and was like, we need to start having fun again, which is one of the things we've been talking about on the show for a couple of weeks, is to get the joy back in the basketball. And, you know, I think... I don't know if that was the trigger or if it was, clearly it seemed like Jeff Teague was one of the key guys getting thrown under the bus here by Paul George. And if that's what it took to motivate him, I really like this response by him, it's true. He has the ability to take command of this team. And I think it's, you talked about last week, Colton, having a lieutenant. If you're Paul George and you're the leader, you need a lieutenant, and one of the natural leaders on any basketball team is going to be the point guard, right?
Yeah.
And so if that guy's locked in and telling people how to do things and executing his job as well, that bodes well all the way down the line, right?
Sure.
So I'm going to paraphrase Paul George again. It was this interview after this game, and they talked about Teague, and he said, we always tell Jeff that there's nobody in the league that can stop him from getting 2 feet in the paint. Mm-hmm. But that he's surrounded by shooters and he doesn't have to do it himself. And that when he counts on us, we're a better team. And I thought that was really interesting, because he was still sort of throwing Teague under the bus, but complimenting him on his 17 assists and the way that he orchestrated this game. But I thought it was interesting, because clearly that's one of the issues the team has had. You know, Teague is incredibly gifted, but maybe not running the offense the way that they need him to. I'm mm-hmm. just speculating, mm-hmm. but just through what I'm hearing from Paul George, that might be one of the issues. But great response from Teague, instead of hanging his head, to just go out there and put up a career high in assists.
Well, I mean, also, Jeff Teague is a wildly competitive dude. And Jason, like you said, he got ate up in the first matchup earlier this week against the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he wanted to come out and eat them up. Like, that's... He knows he lost that matchup, and he wanted to come out and win, and he did that, regardless of everything else that went on. I'm sure that he was, as a player, it's nice to get a shot at redemption so soon after having a bad outing.
Sure, yeah.
I think of note in that game, like we mentioned, it was Jeff Teague's 17 assists. It was his career high. That's also the most by a Pacer since Jamal Tinsley in 2002. Before he was banned.
Tinsley?
Yeah. Before he was banned from the
I feel like
the,
I need to knock on wood every time you say Jamal Tinsley. For what is that?
Missed that guy before he was a jerk.
I thought the other guy that played well in this game was Glenn Robinson. I think that when he embraces that role of being the energy and effort guy and getting out, in transition and getting dunks, and like, he's the one guy that can get things going with his just sheer athleticism. And he did that in this game, double-double in only 24 minutes.
Sure. I think you guys also highlighted Thad Young in this one, because he's got a tough front court matchup with mm-hmm. the Bulls generally, because they've always got a good up court or front court rotation, and he had a good game. It's not going to blow you off the stat sheet, but he was just solid,
mm-hmm.
which is important, right?
You got some threes sort of too.
Yeah, you just got to be able to kind of negate Taj Gibson and Lopez.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and we you mentioned Glenn Robinson's 10 rebounds. The rebounds were clearly written on the whiteboard in this one. We were after him. Everybody, all five guys. You know, it wasn't like we're just going to leave Thad Young to try to grab a board on his own. And, you know, everybody attacked the glass on this, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Fourth game of this week, Pacers take on the Orlando Magic. New Year's Day, Frank Vogel comes back into town, and I tell you what, man, Pacers just beat them up and down this game, 117-104. I thought this thing was over in the first quarter when the Pacers put up 27 to their 17, and it wasn't even that close. It was closer, not as close as it looked from the score. The Pacers win the first three quarters, and they just looked fantastic. I thought. They were having a ton of fun. Ball movement was great. Jeff Teague, like you mentioned, like just from the game before, he was getting to the paint, finding the open guy, either Miles Turner under the basket or kicking it out to the three-point line, whizzing the ball around for some three-pointers there. And the bench loved it. Their smiles and happy. And they made New Year's Day sad for Frank Vogel and a bunch of ex-Pacer point guards. Jason, what'd you like about this one?
Yeah, you said it, man. The ball movement. This team, I mean, Jeff Teague's 17 assists against Chicago apparently was infectious or contagious, and everybody wanted to get into that matchup. They had 28 assists on 43 field goals, which is incredible. I mean, if you're assisting at that rate, that means everybody's getting involved. Everybody feels good. I thought the other good thing, Colson, you mentioned it started happening in the Bulls game, but in this game even more. These lobs to the basket, you know, Teague gets in a pick and roll with Miles Turner, and you can just throw it up there and let the big guy go get it and just flush it down. And I think that really, you know, gets Turner going, it gets the crowd involved, it gets everybody jazzed up. And, you know, I think that they were trying to, clearly the focus has been on celebrating those things. When there's things to celebrate, celebrate them, you know. I think Quinn and Chris were talking about that quite a bit throughout the game. So this was one of the best efforts I've seen from this Pacers team up and down the roster. I thought everybody contributed. Everybody played a good role and did their thing.
Of note, Monte Ellis is back in this one. Comes off the bench. Doesn't start for us. Could be that he's still getting back to health and they want to bring him back slowly, or it could be that Nate's happy with his starting lineup.
Mm-hmm. He was back in the Bulls game actually, but played even more limited minutes. But okay. I think he works well with that second unit at some level. He adds a little bit more control at some level, a little veteran presence there. The other interesting rotation move that's been happening lately is Kevin Serafin has started. He's the first guy off the bench, basically. He comes in for Thad Young, and they play him with Miles Turner up front to end the first quarter. And I think, weirdly, that's a good... I mean, it literally is the Pacers playing bigger than they used to, right?
Right.
And, you know, it shows. He grabs 6 points and six rebounds in this game. And maybe that's one way to assuage this rebounding nightmare that is the Pacers. I mean, we actually out-rebounded them in this game. So,
is Kevin Serafin the closest thing that we have to a bruiser?
Yes.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, Al Jefferson is a beast down low, but he's soft defensively.
I mean, when you think about a bruiser, you think about, like, throwing elbows on the D glass, right?
Right, right, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really, you know, watching this week, I really felt it was fun watching Al Jefferson go after rebounds, because I've been so worried about rebounds. He can really do that for that second unit, but you're right. Yeah, as close to we have as a yeah, I think Serafin is as close to we have as an enforcer, maybe. That's mm-hmm. Just, mm-hmm. You know. Yeah.
Well, but we need one. Let's give him some minutes.
Yep. You put him alongside Miles Turner. You put him alongside Al Jefferson. You had some. Yeah. You're philosophically bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's not limited on the offensive end. I mean, he's got a decent, 10-footer or something like that.
Right.
And he can pass the ball. You know, he's a European guy. So all these European guys are pretty well schooled fundamentally. So I don't think he's a negative on the offensive end either. So
he can chase guys on the perimeter a little bit too. I mean, he's athletic. So, you know, not a bad guy to have to play 10, 15 minutes a game.
I thought this game, particularly this week, was a great one for Miles Turner. Puts up 23 and 12. And this guy, there's new moves that I've never seen before. You know, I like watching, you know, games like this where he'll maybe make a mistake once, and the next time he's in the same situation a couple of minutes later, he'll do the better move, you know, suckering somebody into, you know, fouling him while he's shooting. Or,
did you see the pass that he had?
Oh, yeah, man, that was amazing.
Like through four guys.
Absolutely. That was fantastic.
That was incredible. One handed.
Yeah.
Nuts.
And he did have one block to keep his 23 straight game block going on. That's the longest active one in the NBA.
It's also really rewarding that he got 12 rebounds in this game. Like that magic front court is something going into the season that I was like, these guys are just going to destroy the glass. Ibaka, Biyombo, Vucevic. Like, these guys know how to attack the boards, and he got his 12. And that's a really good sign. I like that.
Yeah, and Glenn Robinson gets 8 again, you know. Trying to figure out what his role is, and if this team needs rebounding, go get the boards. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at the very least, help Miles Turner get one.
Yeah. So that was a good bounce back, I think, these two games for the Pacers. You know, come off 4-game losing streak and then string together 2 wins. Now we got a chance to string a few more together. You know, we talked before the season that the month of December was the toughest month in it for the Pacers, schedule-wise. And it kind of lightens up here in January. So if we can string together some games and really build some confidence, I think this team could start looking like the team we thought it was going to be. And so this week, the Pacers have a chance to do that. They play 3 teams that have sub-500 records, all in the Eastern Conference. So first, the Pacers go to Detroit, play the Pistons on Tuesday, then back to the Fieldhouse for games against Brooklyn on Thursday, and then it's 80s night on Saturday, hosting the Knicks. And that's going to be our game of the week, which we'll talk about on Thursday show a little bit more in detail.
Shouldn't it be 90s night for the Knicks?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe the schedule just didn't break right.
Just skip back to the 80s later?
Yeah.
Either way, we owe them one.
Totally. And they've been they've lost 4 straight. I mean, we'll talk about it more on Thursday, but definitely a chance to go. You know, this might be the first time all season I'll say we have a really good shot to go 3-0. And almost
3-0.
If we don't, I'll be disappointed at some level.
I'm going to say for the 10th time this season, we've turned a corner.
If you keep turning, where do you end up? Just circling the block.
It's a nonagon room? No. A dodecahedron?
Dodecahedron. Yeah, okay. That's where we are.
I think that's 3-dimensional.
Let's undergoogle it.
Tune in for undergoogables on Thursday when we sort this out.
Well, until then, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Website is TheUndebeatables.com. It's a contact form there. You can send us a message. You can review us on iTunes. Thanks to everyone who's done that. We got t-shirts for sale.
For our once and always coach, Bobby Sklenard, now in the Hall of Fame. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
You been traveling? You doing all right?
Yeah. I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
Did that sound like a little travel weary?
I mean,
it sounded a little distressed.
Yeah. I just got off the road. Like, you know, just you're going. You gotta relax. You gotta sit. Just, not move.
Just sometimes. One juke joint to the next. Just singing your songs, man.
Yeah, and sometimes you just gotta take a little break.
I wish someone had submitted it under Googleable, which was "Do bullets come back down?" Because we would just say yes and move on with it.
We can ask that question if you
I think. Remember having an extensive argument with probably you guys and Charlie on Joey's back porch about the speed of bullets speed after of they come back down. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right. We'll have. Yeah. Yeah, we'll have that on the pod. That sounds good.
Okay. No, I remember a lot of those.
It was. I don't think it was very fruitful then. I don't know if we should repeat.
Yeah.
I just remember a lot of those conversations. Someone would say, "Well, in a you know, in a vacuum."
Yeah, that was
right,
definitely me.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah, that was definitely you.
And we just lose Harper disappeared.
I was gonna talk to him. He was next.
He was really feeling left out.
What happened? Hold on, let me see if I can add him back here. Nope. Nope. He gone.
He gone.
Well, what do we do now?
I don't know. Maybe I took his shout out and he's just mad.
So he took his ball and went home?
Frantically thinking of another shout out.
You think he's frantically calling other podcasts now looking for a spot? I miss him already. You think he went all like Boogie Cousins on us, did you?
He might have.
My dog likes corners, so he decided to just go ahead and snuggle up in the corner next to the router.
Oh.
And go nuts scratching himself. And yeah, he knocked out the internet pretty good there.
That's solid work.
Yeah.
That's great.
Good dog. Now he's all depressed. He thinks he's bad because I made him move.
Right. I was so comfortable there.
No,
the router's so warm.
Sorry about that.
It's all good.